Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's talk Sabres hockey. Here's former Sabres goalie, Marty Baron. Marty Baron's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Paul William Belt, your power of attorney. By Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. And by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, the designated cancer center of the Buffalo Sabres.
Well, sad to say this is our final segment of this season with Marty Baron, but glad to say he's with us right now on the Western Hotline. Good morning, Media Mogul.
Good morning, everybody. Listen, I know it's the last one for the regular season, but I'm always available. I'm around, so if you need me, Howard and Jeremy, you know where to call me.
I don't think the Sabres are going to make it, Marty.
I get that, but there's going to be a lot of really good storylines in hockey and things that are going to happen, and so maybe not as exciting as last night, but still, there'll be great things.
Speaking of that, Marty, I saw your tweet, and today's word of the day is dereliction. I saw you like that from the statement from the Rangers.
Dereliction of duties. The only thing with derelict that I remember is from the movie Zoolander. That was Mugatu's clothing line, right? So that's about it.
That's why we love Marty. This is why he's just so entertaining on the show.
What do you make of all this, of everything that happened? Last night, the Rangers statement. Everything, I mean, there's a lot to get to.
Well, first of all, I think Tom Wilson should have been suspended. And really, it's not because of what he did to Pavel Buchnevich. I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, what he, like, the punch when Buchnevich is down is a 2. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, it's a little, like, tap, right? And then, but the falling on his head is about a 5. And what he did to Artemi Panarin, to me, is like a 9. So I think when you do something that's a 9 out of 10, you should be suspended. I think the league really missed the boat on that. I have no problem with the Rangers' statement. I wouldn't have done it personally, probably. I would have yelled in the phone. I would have pulled, like, remember when Darcy Regier yelled at the off-ice official in Philly after the puck went through the side of the net? Yeah. Like, that would have been me walking down Madison or Avenue or whatever, Fifth Avenue in New York to the NHL office. I would have been yelling at everybody. But, I had no problem with it. And last night, well, the Rangers needed to respond. And I actually think the Washington Capitals handled it pretty well on the ice. They, you know, it got crazy, but, they played hockey as well.
Did it bring back some memories for you? Although the defensemen didn't fight and the goalies didn't fight. It was just the forwards at the start of the game.
You know what? It's always the fault of Chris Drury. He's involved in all of those stuff. So maybe he's the goon. Maybe he's the one that should be looked at in there.
So you're calling your old teammate. What do you want? Be assistant GM? What do you want? Director of personnel?
I want special advisor. That's the job. Like, you don't really have a title, but you are doing things. So special advisor would be the job I'd be after. And I think, I think it's interesting because for me, John Davidson is like the ultimate like role model. What he's done in the hockey world as a player, as a broadcaster, and as a executive, I think he's done an amazing job. So I think it's very interesting that 2 years into his reign with the New York Rangers, they all of a sudden decide it's not good enough. Like, the team has done good over the last 2 years when we thought they were going to be in a rebuild. you know, he made some good trades. He got Artemi Panarin. Jeff Gordon's been great. So I'm puzzled by the move. I guess James Dolan, and I know him a little bit from my time in New York. He has that, I want to say that ability, or maybe the crazy sense that sometimes he wants to get involved and do things. It's happened with the Knicks, so I'm puzzled, but I'm all for Chris Drury as an executive in the NHL. I think he's going to be really good. I just think that Davidson and Gordon were excellent, so I'm a little surprised by it.
Why do you, Chris Drury's name has come up here and in other cities for GM jobs over the years. Why do you believe he will have success in that position in New York?
Well, I think he's extremely driven. That's one thing. And he was as a player, and he's a smart man. He knows the game, but it's not just hockey. There's other aspects to the game that, that Drew will be very successful with when communicating with staff, with ownership, with the scouts, and really steering the organization the right way. He's put in his time. Listen, when Chris Drury retired from the New York Rangers and from hockey in general, he walked away from the game. He took like a few years away from the game. We couldn't even find him. He needed that time to readjust, reassess. But since then, since returning to the New York Rangers in multiple roles, he's really put in his time and his work. And I know people are going to say, this is maybe not the best comparison, but with Kevin Adams here in Buffalo, like Kevin Adams was an assistant coach, had been in the development role. He put in a lot of years, and then he did a lot of other things administration-wise, with the organization, with Pagola Sports and Entertainment and all of that. So I think that's what you need. You need somebody that has done the work before they get there. I see Mark Messier yesterday commenting about how, you know, if that was his team, it wouldn't be built this way and all of that. And I love Mark Messier. I think he's a fantastic individual and one of the best players to ever play the game. But if you want to get into the game, if you want to be in that role, you have to put in the work. You have to have done the learning. So that's what Chris Drury did. That's what Kevin Adams did. That's what a lot of other people have done, and they have success right now.
We're with Marty Baron on our Westar Hotline, and of course we want to get to you about Hauser and this amazing story, but I also wanted to make sure we talked to you about Ryan Miller, who announced that he would be retiring at the end of the season. You were one of the guys on the on that Zoom call press conference that sent a congratulatory message to him. I bring up Ryan Miller, and you think about what?
Oh, I think a guy that worked extremely hard. Well, first of all, I think a guy that was like Dominic Hasek, and, you know, like he was 6'2 and 160 pounds wet. He worked so hard that at times, my time here in Buffalo, Lindy Ruff had to tell Millsy, it's time to get off the ice. You're going to run yourself into the ground. So that, again, is a quality of the best players in the world, the amount of work, the commitment to getting better every day. So that was Ryan Miller. His charity work. So, you know, you look at the on-ice work, that was great. And he's the winningest U.S.-born goaltender, the Olympics. That's just amazing. But the off-ice work, the charity work, I think has been, you know, second to none. He's one of the best at it. And whenever Ryan Miller called you and said, hey, I have an event, would you like to take part of it? It didn't matter how embarrassing or how fun or how not fun it was going to be. Everybody wanted to do it. I mean, getting NHL players to do a fashion show, that's not easy to do. And when Millsy called, everybody did it. So that was amazing.
So do you have a favorite outfit they gave you? I'm assuming you were in the fashion show then. Do you have a favorite outfit?
I don't have a Sabres outfit. I mean, I think I ended up buying, like, it was jeans and a shirt and a sweater or whatnot. So I think I, you know, bought it, wore it in the fashion show, and then wore it for the next little while here. So, but I only did one of them. I know a lot of players did multiple, but then I got traded. So obviously I was playing maybe some of those nights, so it would have been a bad move to tell my coach, listen, I got to leave because Ryan Miller's got a charity event.
Marty, the Hauser story, where do we even begin? I mean, you know, it was one thing a few weeks ago, Dustin Tokarski got his first win in however many years it had been, and that gets trumped a lot by the Hauser story, right? I mean, he gets the first win, which is really cool, and then he tops it by going 3-for-3 in the shootout the other night.
Yeah, so there's, I don't know if people believe in you know, something bigger than you and yourself and all of that. You know, people mention the hockey gods at time. I think this is just another perfect example. Yes, we talked about Dustin Tokarski, and he lost his father, and, you know, working back to the NHL and being like a true pro in the American League for years. Michael Hauser's the same thing. Like, at 28 years old, most hockey players 4 years ago would have said, okay, I'm not, you know, going very much in the direction I would want to. I am going to either go to Europe and play pro hockey over there and make it my career over there, or I'm going to just go and do something else. But Michael Hauser didn't do that. He kept playing in the East Coast Hockey League for very little money, and kept the dream alive to getting to the NHL at some point. And those stories are amazing. I know so many players that even in the American League, after 4 or 5 years in the American League and not getting really a call up and not getting a sniff to the NHL, they're like, okay, well, I got to do something else. And they changed the course, right? Well, Michael Hauser stayed the course. He looks really good in that. He moves extremely well. He's poised. I've loved every second of it. And just like you said, the Tokarski story, the Hauser story, the TJ Oshie story last night, mm-hmm. the hat trick after losing his dad last week in his first game back. Like, there's something else that brings all of the stars together and all of these people together for the stories. And I'm all for it. I love every second of it.
I think I read a comment, you know, you were talking about opportunities elsewhere. I think it was the agent. And one of the stories I read about Hauser, so he's in the minors and he's mostly in the East Coast League and had opportunities to go play in Europe. But the deal was he had his dream, and his dream was to get to the NHL, and he wasn't giving up on it. Maybe he would have made more money. Maybe it would have been a better, more enjoyable experience than languishing in the East Coast Hockey League, but he wanted to follow his dream, which I think is really awesome.
It's really awesome, and not only that, but he was, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania type of kid. He grew up playing hockey, and then he was playing in the USHL, and you know, he wasn't getting the top minutes in the USHL to be able to pursue maybe an even higher level. So, the London Knights and Dale Hunter and the Hunter family saw him. They needed a backup. They called him. He went over to the London Knights. He finished the season really well. The next year, he was supposed to be the backup again. And then he ended up being goalie of the year, MVP of the OHL. He was their guy. Like, this is just, again, a guy that was undrafted in the OHL, really wasn't going anywhere. He got an opportunity, and he says, move out of my way, I'm taking it. Now, that's junior. NHL is different, but over two games, he was given an opportunity, and he says, get out of my way, I'm taking it. And both times against the New York Islanders, the team was down, and with Michael Hauser as their goaltender, the Buffalo Sabres stepped up. I mean, that's more than just making saves and trying to get a win. That's a whole experience and a whole confident level that you're giving your team to be able to do it. I mean, that's really cool.
Do you think, is it possible that maybe he plays the next two games, whatever, the small body of work here at the end of this season could get him an NHL opportunity next season?
I think an NHL opportunity is going to be tough. There's already not a lot of jobs in the NHL, and there's already going to be some really high-end talent that are going to be available through free agency, trades, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think the NHL is going to be tough, but definitely in the AHL.
Right.
And I look here in Buffalo, for example, like, it's going to be hard with the Buffalo Sabres and Rochester Americans because you have Dustin Tokarski signed for next season. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen will probably be in Rochester next season. So you have two guys in Rochester. I would assume that they're going to try to get something done with Linus Ullmark and acquire another you know, established goaltender to help Allmark along the way. So I think you may look at the Sabres and say, well, their top four goaltender spots are going to be taken, but you never know. Maybe they do something and then Hauser comes back. But I'm definitely on board with him having an opportunity at the AHL level somewhere, guaranteed, not having to go back to the East Coast Hockey League next season.
Well, Mr. Baron, it's been a pleasure as always. Your Thursday morning visits are always entertaining. They're always fun. We loved having you on, and thank you for the open invitation. I'm sure at some point we'll take you up on it. And have yourself a great season, off season, summer, spring, and all that stuff.
Okay, well, let's do this. Whenever we can, I want to go watch a baseball game with you, Howard. And Jeremy, you're more than welcome to come along. I know you're busy with the kids and all of that, but I want to go to a Blue Jays game with you guys.
Cool.
And let's make it and have fun. So I want to see if you're really a true baseball fan, if you know what you're talking about.
Well, he follows the Mets, so.
So I'm not really a true baseball fan because I actually don't have a true baseball team that I root for.
Well, I may not be a true baseball fan anymore because my team doesn't exist anymore. So let's see what we can do.
Oh, we'll have fun. Well, we'll be sitting there talking about double switches all day long. It's going to be awesome. You'll love it. You're buying the tickets, though, right?
Yeah, I'll make a couple of phone calls. I'm not saying I'm buying them, but I will get them.
Okay. Well, if you buy them, I'm in. If I have to pay for it, you're on your own. Thanks, okay. Marty. Always love talking to you, sir. Be good.
You guys be good. Have a good summer, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.